T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, my boss, a man.
I'm a man.
He's a man. He's a mighty good man.
But that doesn't make me the boss. Men are usually not the boss.
That's true. I just let you there, think that.
If there's people confused about that out there, we're not. We're not the boss.
Exactly. Good. Good to know that you
it's
really
cute
that
we pretend, all that kind of stuff. It's
exactly.
Adorable.
We
but
like to
not.
Make you think that. Uh-huh. We also have over here to my left, Will Hottie Patati Schmidt. How you doing, Will?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Also not the boss.
He's also not the boss.
But he's a man. He's not the boss.
Very good man. Okay, so if this is your first time hearing us today, I'm sorry. You've been missing out, you know.
Yeah, welcome.
We've had some cool stuff going on all these weeks. I mean, it's like 26 episodes.
We talked
now.
About jelly beans on some episode, I think.
Yeah. We talked about, like, the secret of life. And if you missed that
one.
Missed that one, yeah.
Jeez.
Then you're out of luck.
Oops.
Today we got a great topic, though. We kind of ran out of topics, so we just call it potluck questions.
we just
want
to see.
It's just a mishmash.
If we let anybody ask anything, what would they ask?
Oh, we got a lot of
questions. Yeah, we had to edit out a lot of them.
Yeah. Most of those that we edited out were mine, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, but today, yeah, we've got some good stuff. If you haven't followed us or liked us on Facebook, then you're missing out. You need to drop everything you're doing. You know, drop that cigarette, drop that drink, whatever you've got going on, and just go over to your computer and go to Kick It in the Nuts and then like us. We post topics there every single week about future shows we'll be doing, and then you can ask questions, and we'll cover them in the show.
I think we're going to hit 70,000 followers today, probably.
Whoa.
I think that's where they top us off.
Can you imagine that if you had 70,000 people like following you around?
Just like wherever you went all
day? Just trying to go to like Rite Aid.
That would be so hard to find parking.
Get a flute.
Like, I'm just going to buy these pretzels.
Uh-huh. That would be rough.
They cut it off after 70,000?
No, I was being stupid.
Oh, okay.
I do that sometimes.
Okay, all right.
It happens.
He messes with me. So, what do you guys have to say about potluck questions?
I say I like it because, you know, today, usually we'll cover a topic and we'll get into some deep conversations about it. And maybe we won't fully explain everything that we talk about today, but hopefully we can at least point some people in a direction where they can find some answers to these questions or make sense of it.
Yeah, I have to admit I was confused and I brought mashed potatoes.
Oh, you thought it was a different kind of... Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just eat those.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
All right, so I guess... Well, we don't really have any, you know...
We don't have to explain anything up front. We just...
Let's get into questions and see what people say.
What they get into.
All right, Joanne from Los Angeles, California. It seems like the more I work out, the more out of control my OCD becomes. Shouldn't it be the other way around?
No. Next question. This is easy.
Yeah.
This potluck is easy.
Great. Yeah.
What else
yes
you got?
Or no's or maybes or don't know's. No. And that would be awesome if you got OCD and then you worked out even more.
Oh, if it caused
it's
working.
Not
yeah,
that
you're
awesome.
Like, oh.
You just stay at the gym.
You never you, leave. You know, you're like, damn, I've got to go back and do 20 more.
Yeah.
And this is actually kind of a good question because a lot of people think that working out is equivalent to health, and that's just kind of how we envision that. And so we feel that the more we work out, the more healthy that we are. But that's not always the case. And
we even heard that today in the gym.
I think we did. Yeah, we heard a trainer telling their client that
the more you work out,
yeah,
the better.
Yeah, the more you work out, the better. And it was funny. Kenna looked at me. Kenna, yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's better for her bank account.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of issues where, you know, working out more is not beneficial if you don't have a lot of resources. Do you want to talk about that a little, Will?
Yeah. So everything affects your chemistry, and working out is no exception to that. Actually, it can affect it a lot. So a lot of people that aren't set up to work out well have a really hard time sticking with their program because every time they go, they feel worse, like whether they're hurting their joints because they're not moving right or if they're pushing their chemistry in the wrong way. Like if you're already electrolyte deficient or low blood pressure, you go in there and you just make it worse. And then you're going to have tougher cravings and your digestion will get off. And
maybe I shouldn't work out anymore, Tony.
Yeah, man, I think you've been overdoing it. I was going to say something.
You cut off.
Right.
But yeah, if somebody's dealing with a lot of those issues that we talk about that go along with low resources, like, you know, depression or even some types of insomnia, If your resources are already low and you're working out really hard, then you're burning more resources. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that working out is not good for you. It just means that you need to do some things to increase your resources.
Yeah. In particular, when you look at like OCD and we talk about mental health and the whole metabolic type or oxidative type, if you're a fast or slow oxidizer, you want to look at like, what are you doing when you're working out? You're usually burning a lot of glycogen, like a lot of blood sugar. And if you're, say, for example, low blood pressure, fast oxidizer, who's already burning through sugar really quickly, and that's like the main problem of why you have like OCD or other mental problems, that's going to exacerbate it, just like drinking like a high glycemic soda would, you know?
Right.
It's going to spike and drop your blood sugar and throw you further into that metabolic imbalance. So check out, Joanne, check out those points of balance, your electrolyte levels and your metabolic type. Like, are you a fast or slow oxidizer? And see if you can work on those imbalances.
And we've talked about things like ADD and depression, and OCD is not the same thing, but a lot of these types of issues are often caused by people not having the minerals to allow signals to travel to their brain correctly, not having enough fuel for their brain to function fully. So people who either don't have those resources, or when we talk about a fast oxidizer or a slow oxidizer, we're talking about the speed at which they burn through fuel, specific types of fuel, but basically fuel. So if you're ripping through all your fuel and you got nothing left, then that leaves nothing for the brain to function too. And I think this particular symptom of OCD is kind of a situation where a lot of times people will put structure into their life, and it can calm them down. It can make them feel okay, even though their body is not at ease. Their body is, hey, you know, things aren't traveling correctly. I'm not getting all the signals. I'm sending a signal here, but it's not coming back. And the people can just feel uncomfortable in that situation. But if they can put structure in and they can lock the door 3 times or whatever it is that they're doing from that OCD situation, or everything has to be in line. If you look at my desk, you see I'm very OCD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's immaculate.
There's like, I can't even see the wood part of my desk because there's so much stuff everywhere. But a lot of the people that deal with those issues are finding ways through activity in their life to feel better and to allow themselves to function better. But if you can lift the resources that the brain needs to function, then all of a sudden they feel better. But you can see how if somebody working out hard with low resources could exacerbate that.
Mm-hmm. When you say low resources, we're not talking about money here. We're talking about minerals.
Right,
and
like
all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah. Now, yeah. If somebody doesn't have enough money to buy some food, that could go that way too.
Yeah, exactly. But we just mentioned a whole bunch of different terms like electrolyte deficient and fast oxidizers. And if this is your first time listening, you can find out what we mean by all that. And
you
also,
may have shut it off already.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, these guys are useless. But if you check out our website, there's a free course we have on fixing digestive issues where you also learn what these terms mean at kickinginthenuts.com.
It teaches you how to look at your own physiology with simple tests at home, and you can figure out, okay, do I have issues that are going the wrong way?
And then you can be part of this cool clique.
Right. You can be all the cool kids hang out there.
Exactly. Janie from Danville, California. What can I do about my eyes always being dry? Maybe cry.
Yeah, just be sad.
Yeah.
And then they won't be so dry. Mm-hmm. Watch Rudy. That's awesome.
They've had a couple more sad movies since Rudy was made.
Oh, they have.
Just
I don't watch
case.
Sad movies, yeah, so maybe that was... I thought it was just Rudy and E.T.
Oh, no.
Yeah, other than this nonsense, we can look at like options to like fix your dry eyes. Of like, are you hydrated sufficiently? Again, is there an imbalance like where you're peeing out too much of your water and your body's not holding on to the hydration it should, like a lot of anabolic people do? Or are you doing things that really dry your eyes out, like standing in front of a fan? Or
don't do that.
Or staring at a computer screen too much, or being on an airplane where that little thing is blowing. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, and a lot of people, when it comes to hydration, will subconsciously not drink as much because if they have low resources, if they drink a lot of water, they'll just wash out more mineral and they'll feel lousy. And they kind of learn through their life that if they drink a little less, they feel better. So hydration can be a big issue there. And another big issue is that Humans and guinea pigs are and primates are the only animals that don't make their own vitamin C. All other animals make their own vitamin C, so we get a little ripped off. And a lot of times, there's even a condition called dry eye, and it can even happen like to one eye. It just dries all up. And a lot of times, that person doesn't have enough vitamin C for the cells to repair correctly, and it can cause an eye to become drier. So those are the two main issues you want to look at, is am I hydrating enough, and do I have enough vitamin C? And if you're going to supplement vitamin C, don't get vitamin C, like Rite Aid's vitamin C, you know. You need a whole food form of vitamin C. Like, we use Bio-C from Empirical Labs. I think Garden of Life has a good one that's like, it's made from food and it has all the cofactors in there. If you just use ascorbic acid, it's not going to give your body true vitamin C. Now, we use ascorbic acid for other stuff, but you need all the C factors in order to fix an issue like this.
Madeline from Fremont, Kentucky. Why do I bruise if someone just looks at me wrong? I don't think I've ever been totally bruise-free at any given moment. Maybe she has anemia or something like that?
Maybe she's typing right there. Mm-hmm. She's about bruised all up.
Yeah, her fingers.
Uh-huh.
It took a lot.
I bruise a lot, too, but I always just think, you know, I'm really white.
Oh, you're like overly a cracker.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be the thing, but it's weird. That both of these asked together at the same back to back, because that's often a vitamin C issue too, where mm-hmm. you'll see people that come in and they'll be bruising no matter what. Just they hardly bump anything. Mm-hmm. But if they have enough vitamin C, then all those cells can be repaired very quickly and it's not so fragile. They're not like falling apart already. And then a person could heal up. So if you give them vitamin C, do you see this well? Like, then they just like stop bruising?
Yeah. You know, I was going to ask you if you ever see that with just the generally catabolic state too, or the tissues are just kind of weaker.
I think that would make sense to me if they were very catabolic and things were kind of falling apart already. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, a house of cards. If you just kind of touch it, then it breaks apart. But if there's like, you know, if there's Legos in there, or it's all locked together. Legos are cool.
I saw the largest Lego structure of my life this weekend.
Oh, really? Where?
It's the largest one in the world, actually, in the middle of America. Wow. It's like 7 tons or something.
I really want
it. There's 22 million Legos.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can you go inside of it and
no,
stuff?
It's floating in there. It's a giant, like, transformer.
Oh, wow.
It's incredible.
Cool. Yeah, I kind of want to be
around. And no bruises anywhere.
So. Yeah, see? Bruise-free. Legos have it.
Also, like, some types of medication causes bruises, right?
You
like,
can,
like,
but Coumadin. Go ahead, Will, you were going to talk about?
I was going to also say, like, some things will just, like, rob you of vitamin C, there like particular go. Medications or smoking. And I've also seen this a lot where when people's pHs are way off, they often, like, not only is, like, their urine pH way high, so they should use ascorbic acid to lower it, but way more often in those people, I see a lot of, like, true vitamin C deficiencies, like at the tissue level, where they just don't have nearly enough of that. And I'm thinking it's one of those sort of like those nutrients that needs to have a well balanced pH zone so you can even absorb it, like iodine. If your pHs uh-huh. are out of whack, it doesn't matter if you supplement with iodine, you're not going to absorb it, so you have to dial right. in your pHs to get right. it.
And I also wonder if they're, you know, usually you see the people with the very high urine pH or they're over anabolic or a lot of times living on carbohydrates, and a lot of that can be processed food, which the body would view as a toxin, and then it would use vitamin C to make that toxin inert so that it can be removed from the body, and then we run out of vitamin C.
Yeah.
Greg from Calhoun Falls, South Carolina. Thyroid problems and weight loss.
So this is a big topic. And I think people have been asking about this for a long time. We haven't hit this yet. And it's really, it's a very complicated topic. There's a lot of, you know, doctors that just focus on this. There's a lot of guys out there that I've been listening to some that know a lot about this and understand a lot going on. But I think that we see one aspect of it, and we can often help people with this one little aspect. And I don't even know if we really understand what's going on, but one thing that I hear a lot of the doctors who really focus on this with will say that there is a mechanism in the body that uploads iodine, and for some people it doesn't work as well, and if that's a problem, then they'll have thyroid issues, and they don't know what that is. But our view, why don't you explain our view on iodine and absorbing and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, again, funny, I was just talking about the last question. But certain, and this is true in farming also, if you've ever like tried to grow your own crops or make flowers blossom or whatever, different nutrients need to be available for your plants and for your body to do different things. And the just like the plants, our bodies need to have particular pH ranges to be able to absorb different nutrients. And certain nutrients you can absorb very easily, like kind of whatever your pHs are, like sodium and magnesium, these very broad, very low on the periodic table, these elements. And the higher you go up on the periodic table, as far as like the atomic weight of the element, the narrower range in which we can absorb those nutrients.
So the less of a fluctuation point is allowed in those pHs.
Right. So it's got to be like really, really dialed in to absorb iodine, the most complex element that our body utilizes. And for most people, their pHs are way out of whack most of the time, if not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're taking iodine tablets or eating kelp or whatever, it doesn't get absorbed because your pHs are so out of whack, your cells just can't find it. So then the thyroid doesn't get to do its job because it doesn't have that essential piece of its fuel. So we see that a lot of the times. And then the iodine can actually end up occurring as like a toxin because, again, like the body doesn't know what to do with it.
Right. Right. And so I do think that there are other issues that can happen with a thyroid. And I think that there are other problems that can happen. But it's hard to find people that won't agree that if there's iodine issues, that the thyroid's not going to work correctly. So we see that if you can help someone balance their pHs, that all of a sudden they may not even need to supplement iodine because they can just get it from the food that they're eating and, or whatever. But if they do that, then all of a sudden that thyroid can start to function again.
Yeah. And there's some other major points we've talked about with the thyroid before. Iodine's not the only thing that can be out of whack. If you don't have enough nitrogen in your system, again, your endocrine system won't run well. And then the thyroid is also a smart organ, just like every organ in your body. Whereas if you're in this state of like low resources, electrolyte deficient, low blood pressure, it's going to purposely slow you down. It's going to try to like ease off the gas a little.
Yeah.
And so then you might be called hypothyroid, you know, but it's actually just the governor recognizing you don't have enough fuel to go in the fast lane right now. So if you worked on that, then your thyroid would naturally sort of pick up when it sees other resources around.
And one thing that's really important here that I don't think a lot of people understand, and this is probably one of the biggest messages we need to get out, is that if you don't have enough fuel to drive in the fast lane, then don't drive in the left lane. You right. belong in the right lane. Right. Get out of the left lane
right.
so that we can drive.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're on a bike, don't go in the fast lane.
Sorry, I guess I was just talking about traffic there, but I live in L.A., yeah. so that's important.
Right. Yeah, and there's that issue, like I mentioned just briefly, if you don't have enough nitrogen, and that really comes from your ability to break down protein, which a lot of people have problems with. So even if you don't necessarily have low blood pressure, you might have that issue going on.
Which is sure, yeah, because look, you know, thyroid issues are so, you know, all the cool kids have thyroid issues now. Right. But look at how many people are on PPI drugs that are turning off their digestion and turning off their ability to break down protein.
Yeah.
It's millions.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that this is an issue.
Which is, you know, like when I was 16, so that was, what, 2 years ago?
2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. They told me I had low thyroid and stuff. And I took Synthroid for a couple of years, and then I just stopped, didn't have insurance and all that. So for the last few years, I haven't been taking it. But how do I know if my thyroid is still, like, I'm just assuming everything's okay now since I'm eating healthy and everything.
And because you shrink, you know, as you shrink, you assume that things are working a little bit better. Yeah. There could still be issues going on, but odds are great with the success that you have when you're on track that everything is working well. So, you know, I mean, how many things do you have to check out every day? Anything could be going wrong.
Yeah, oh, gosh. I've got a list.
And there's another book if, like, you're deep in, like, thyroid diagnosis and you're scared and thrown on. You can check out it's also the same website, stopthethyroidmadness.com. There's a book, Stop the Thyroid Madness, where you can really, like, educate yourself about all the language that the doctors are throwing around at you, and you can ask them important questions to make sure they're looking at all the right things. And you can also just focus on your base chemistry, because I've had lots of clients that have come to me with diagnosed thyroid issues, and when they fix their blood pressure and when they fix their digestion, all of a sudden they can get up out of bed. You know, all of a sudden, do they have Hashimoto's? No, I don't know.
Yeah, and it is kind of a popular thing. I've also seen clients that said that they couldn't lose weight and they're trying all these things, and the doctor said, well, let's just try some thyroid meds. You know, so they just assume that if you can't lose weight, that you have a thyroid issue, mm-hmm. and that's not always the case.
Somebody once told me that if you have a thyroid problem, you can tell because somebody can look at your eyebrows, and at the ends of them, they disappear.
Well,
is this
true?
The person
as disappears? Opposed to continue on to your ear?
Well, like, so this part's thick, but then the end part, like it just kind of fades away, like there's no hair there. So I always look at people's eyebrows now and see if they have thyroid problems.
I've never heard that. No. I'm going to go ahead and not use that as a piece of my information.
Okay, that could be part of y'all's test. For test
people. Okay, so Eileen from Orlando, Florida. I'm reading Kick Your Fat in the Nuts. Well, good for you.
I wrote
Look that. At that. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, Tony wrote that in there. Enjoyable and intriguing. She's trying to get some brownie points. You refer to people with low blood pressure as low in minerals. My blood tests always show low sodium. I have high blood pressure. Is this blood test not a good indicator? Thanks.
And I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have, just because you hear so many people saying if you have high blood pressure, you can't have salt. Run from the salt. So we just kind of assume that high blood pressure is all about sodium levels, and that's not. So let's kick it over to Will and have him explain.
Oh, let's have Will explain it.
What makes up blood pressure and what determines what that number is going
to
end up being?
Will, and you need to take off your tank top, too, so I can listen to you better.
Really? Are you sure?
It makes me assimilate
sure that would help?
The information into my brain.
Okay. So blood pressure is a product of a number of different things, like how tightly constricted your circulatory system is. Like if you drink a cup of coffee.
I am tightly constricted.
Right. Okay. And also sugar levels. So if you have elevated blood sugar levels, that is going to contribute to your blood pressure, as well as all the electrolytes that the sugar attracts.
Right. And that's sure. And another thing we can think about, too, is that if bile is not flowing, which is the exit strategy of junk in the body, mm-hmm. then a lot of that junk goes back into the bloodstream, and now there's filth that's thickening up the right. bloodstream as well.
And further, like if you do have elevated blood glucose levels, your body may start to generate more low-density lipids or bad cholesterols, not really bad, but to buffer the mm-hmm. damage the sugar's causing, which could then later contribute to higher blood pressure. So it's not just salt that's in there. That would be a weird person.
Right, if that was all they had.
Just salt water, just like the ocean bleeds uh-huh. out of them. So there's all those other things you want to look at. Like, do you have high blood sugar levels? Is your bile backed up? And are you not detoxifying your body? Are you stuck in like a sympathetic nervous system state?
Yeah.
Because all of those will contribute to your blood pressure. And sometimes that happens like when you don't have enough stomach acid, you don't have enough chloride, that you may need to add more salt to your diet, so you can start to make more stomach acids, you can start to digest proteins, and then be able to eat less carbs, and then your blood sugar can come down.
Yeah, and another factor is maybe Eileen's on some like antidepressant or something that is forcing her blood pressure to go up. You know, you never know what's going on with the person, but
right. Or she's stuck behind someone driving slow in the fast lane.
Right. So there's a lot of factors to look at beyond just that, what the mineral is picking out in that blood test. Mm-hmm.
All right, Michelle from Scotland.
Scotland.
International. All right, shout it out. Hello. Mm. I live in Scotland and was diagnosed with chronic pain syndrome. It seems to be impossible to find any doctors that know anything about this condition. I got diagnosed 4 years ago. I have constant pain that varies from 5 to a 10 on the pain chart. I sit at a 5 every day, but most days I get hours of pain at a level 10. It has ruined my life, and I have 3 children, age 8, 12, and 21, so it's a real burden on them as well. I hardly sleep, rarely go out, as when the pain gets to a 10, I pass out as it is unbearable. I've had nearly every test and scan available. I am on 10 milligrams of morphine to use as required, but I only get 3 per week. Also, I get morphine patches 7-day ones, and they release morphine hourly. The doc says there is no cure, but it's not fatal. I feel like no one understands how much pain I am in every single day. That's sad.
It is rough. I mean, and so one thing I will say to you Michelle, is that, because I know that people are telling you this, and I know that you're feeling like, is this the problem? This pain is not in your head. This is not your imagination. There's really things going on. But this chronic pain syndrome, I mean, can you give me a diagnosis that's more vague? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Know, I mean, next is going to be chronic have a bad day syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
And what this, they call it, you know, CPS, and what that stands for is I don't know what the hell is wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to at least give you something so that you leave my office. And,
well, isn't it that kind of like, well, isn't that what fibromyalgia is? Like you're always just in pain?
A lot. It's similar. And but with this, this is allowed to be a little more vague. You know, it can be a little more broad.
It can be, like, hard tissue, too.
Hard to what?
Hard tissue, too, not just soft tissue.
But. Right. So, but a lot of people deal with this, and how are you going to function if you're, you know, this is, her email got even cut down. She had more stuff in there talking about it. It was just tragic, and, like, her kids come home and find her, like, on the floor crawling because she can't move and function. And, so... what we have to look at is that in the medical community, they're looking at blood tests, and that's how they determine pretty much everything, is they go off these blood tests. But the blood is compensatory. Do you want to explain that a little, Will?
Yeah. So I actually had, this is what got me into this work in general. Like, I had growing, mysterious, constant, nagging, gnawing pain and contractions in my extremities, and was getting worse and worse and worse for years. And I had blood tests done, full spinal MRI, nerve tests, everything looked totally normal. There's nothing was off, and from what they were looking at.
Your hair looked pretty.
It was amazing. Perfect hair day every day, and I couldn't enjoy it. But and there was times when it fluctuated like this, where like in the morning it was the least painful, and then as the day went on, especially at night, it was the most painful. And it took a lot of learning to figure out what needed to happen in my body chemistry. And I had been eating what I thought was a healthy diet for decades. It was actually incredibly toxic, like mainstream kind of fitness approach.
Right.
And there was a lot of things off in my body chemistry. My digestion was horrible for decades. My nervous system was super slammed into fight or flight. My blood was really thick and full of sediment from all the weird fake foods I'd been eating. And there was a lot that needed to shift. But as I fixed it, all that stuff just went away. And your question was like the blood compensated fluid. What does that mean? It's because those blood tests showed up as totally normal because my body was doing a great job of keeping me alive, even though I was doing a horrible job of trying to help it do that. Right?
So you were so mean to your body.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I was. And my body was just doing everything it could, like trying to keep the blood as pristine as possible, because if the blood gets too far out of range one way or another, you can die. You get a seizure, stop getting sugar to your brain, oxygen levels come off, heart attack.
Right.
So it'll keep sending toxins out into like your tissues, like in fibromyalgia, or out through your colon or through your skin or whatever else. And I had skin issues too. So
it can do a lot to take care of the blood at the expense of a lot of other systems in the body.
Totally, which can totally hurt and make you have a bad hair day. Thank God I didn't.
I know.
You know, whatever. Gosh, you know,
what would you have done then?
But as you work to fix all the different imbalances, like start with your digestion and then look at what else is off in your chemistry and just notice like, am I starting to feel even a little bit better? Is my chemistry starting to get more balanced? And then just notice how magically when you start to look at these other parameters and bring them into balance, how all of a sudden your pain is a little less and eventually you're out of it.
Right. And it was enough of an issue that it got you into this work.
Yeah.
And that's what caused you to get into this work. And just last week, Kenna asked me, did Will get into this work because somebody gave him a bunch of tank tops and he needed to get to where he looked good in them?
Right.
Because he didn't want to throw all those clothes out?
It was partly.
That was the only part of the issue.
Sponsorships.
By tank tops.
Yeah. So for Michelle, there's a couple different things that you need to look at. And the first thing that I would recommend is to do our free digestion course on kickinthenuts.com so that you can run the simple tests to look at your physiology and see if something is completely whacked. Because I find that when people are having severe pain like this, that something is usually completely whacked, where you look at it and you're like, man, I'm not even a human. Mm-hmm. My numbers are so off.
Yeah.
So if you can find that, then you can start to work on it. Because what happens, we find that we talk in a lot of episodes about the anabolic and the catabolic state. So we don't need to go into a whole lot today, but it's basically at the cellular level, is your body in a rebuilding mode or is it in a break everything down mode? And we need both. And we oscillate from one to the other each day. In the morning, we're more catabolic. In the night, we're more anabolic. But, Will, do you want to talk a little bit about how the situation of where that cell is can affect the tissues around those cells and the state that those are in?
Yeah. So in the AM, we're supposed to be in this more catabolic, oxidizing, energy-producing breakdown state, and around sundown switch to the anabolic rest, digest, rebuild sort of phase. And when that doesn't happen, the body freaks out and certain electrolytes don't get to stay where they should be or they don't get to go where they want to be. And that creates what Dr. Emmanuel Ribici called acid and alkaline pain patterns. So it's not necessarily that you need to like focus on fixing your pHs or alkalis or something
like
that.
Right, yeah, be careful with the buzzwords you hear out there.
That's what we're saying. We're saying pay attention to, is your body in an overly catabolic state or an overly anabolic state? Is it switching properly from catabolic in the AM to anabolic at night? And pay attention, like you said in your question, Michelle, like, do you have more pain at certain times of the day than later? And that can also be a clue to, like, say you're stuck in a catabolic state and you feel okay in the morning, and then as evening approaches and your body's supposed to shift to be anabolic, does your pain start to get worse and worse?
Right.
And that's a great point. Or like maybe you're not switching over into that anabolic state, and that's creating these electrolyte imbalances and pH imbalances that cause pain. So if you can learn to fix that and help your body transition, then you can notice an immediate improvement in your pain levels.
Right, so think about it this way. Like, if you took your hand and you poured battery acid from your car on your hand, you would not do that again. Like, you would be pain from that acid, because the acid on your, you know, nerve endings is going to burn up in your skin. You're not going to like it. Now, you could do the same thing with some substance that was overly alkaline, because an alkaline substance can burn your tissues just as well. So what happens is, in this anabolic state, all that tissue around the cells and that environment around the cells can become overly acidic. And then those nerves are frying in acidity, and that creates that pain. Now, if someone is overly catabolic, all of those tissues can become more alkaline, and then you have that alkaline pain. So if you can start to figure out which one am I dealing with, then you can look at steps to improve those imbalances, which will in turn start to reduce that pain. You know, I've talked to people, doctors, that they'll have their patient, if they have a situation like this, they'll be like, just take a teaspoon of baking soda and you put it in a glass of water and stir it up really, really good, and then you drink it. And then about a half hour later, your pain is either going to improve and you're going to start feeling a little bit better, or it will be the worst pain you've ever had and you're going to want to punch me in the face.
Right.
But now you know what's going on. Now you know, is because that baking soda is very alkaline. So if you introduce things that are going to increase that alkalinity around those tissues, if it makes it worse, then you know that those tissues are having a trouble being too alkaline. And now you have some answers of where to go. I'm not saying to try that, because if your pain is so bad you're lying on the ground or you're passing out.
Let's give her something else. Right, baking soda roulette.
Yeah. So, but just know that, like, another thing you can do is look at when you first started with this issue. I remember saying that she was just popping pills left and right. So aspirin or ibuprofen probably worked better, because aspirin will make a person less catabolic. So if you're overly catabolic and having pain, aspirin can improve that pain. And ibuprofen makes a person less anabolic. So one of those probably worked better for you and can give you some clues of what the problem may be. But don't give up, and also understand that this information is not in the medical training. It's just not there. There's not a drug for it, so they're not taught. So just because they don't have answers, don't make you feel helpless.
Mm-hmm.
There are answers out there. You just have to dig for them yourself.
Mm-hmm. Ask and you shall find.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good luck, Michelle.
Yep, because I played a chronic pain character on a sketch show, and even just playing her, I was in pain.
Right. Yeah. One more word on it, because we talked.
She's been doing this for about 10 years.
Oh, that's
that. And a sketch show, it's the same thing.
Right.
So, 10-minute sketch.
I just want to reemphasize to Michelle to not get caught up in trying to balance her pHs, because that test, if baking soda chemically made you feel better, it's not the solution.
Excellent.
Like, don't just drink baking soda and be like, awesome. No.
It's going to turn off your digestion. It's all kinds of problems.
So, and even like possibly the greatest physician of our culture ever was chasing that at first. Like when he was discovering this, he was looking at how can I just shift the pHs around before he realized that there's at the deeper level of like the cell membrane permeability related to the catabolic anabolic imbalance. When you fix that, then it will regulate where your pHs are and all the different polarities that are supposed to be present. So just if you do the baking soda thing, just use that as a test to see like, am I too catabolic or too anabolic?
It's not a solution.
Yeah. And then you have to fix the health of the membranes by correcting the catabolic anabolic imbalance, and that will regulate your pHs correctly.
And it'll take more work, and we teach how to do that in the free courses and in our books and even in our longer courses and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anne from Holden, Missouri. Why do I get the shakes? Shortly after I exercise, my body will start trembling and I get very weak. The food that pulls me out of that mode quickly is sugar. I don't want sugar. Can you tell me what's going on and how to prevent it? Thanks. She's hypoglycemic or something. Or diabetic. Or something. That's my answer.
There you go. Good. Kenneth got it.
Uh-huh. There we go. I'll just answer all the questions from now on. I played a chronic pain character and this is what I did.
Awesome.
So hypoglycemic reactions could be part of that formula that's creating that.
Oh.
It's true.
See, I was correct on something.
You're right. I wasn't kidding.
Good. There we go.
But yeah, so you burn up a lot of sugar when you work out, and your body freaks out when your blood sugar gets too low because you could get a seizure. So you want to do work to try to make sure your body has enough resources going into the workout, like getting your blood pressure and blood sugar to be very regular by balancing those and improving your digestion, getting your blood pressure up to where it should be.
So would she have like carbs before she works out?
Potentially, like if she's doing a strength training, so her muscles have something to draw from. And your body can make blood sugar out of proteins also. So if you're doing a good job in fixing your digestion to be able to use proteins as fuel, your blood pressure will generally be up high enough and have enough blood sugar to draw from when you do a workout, whether you eat carbs right before or not. With fat loss goals and stuff, there's more nuances to it. But if you're having that issue, you want to make sure you give your body a chance to have enough resources to go into a workout.
Yeah, I do protein shakes with strawberries in it, so it's kind of both before I work out. So yeah.
And,
it's a good thing.
Think about this, Anne, too, is that in the body, you know, if you're getting shakes, that it's a good sign your body is starting to freak out because it doesn't have the resources to do what you're trying to do. And remember that if sugars are very low, you can buffer that with minerals. And if minerals are very low, you can buffer that with sugars. And that's probably why when you eat those sugars, they go in real quick and they buffer all of those low resources and you feel better. But if you can lift your mineral levels, then that gives you that buffer zone to where when sugars go a little lower, maybe in the middle of a workout, maybe you don't fall apart and crash so hard.
So then you take a salt shaker and
salt lick. Just have a horse. Horses use those salt licks. Bring
one
to the gym.
So when you need sugar, it's really salt that you need. And when you, it's the reverse.
It could be either. It can be both. And
kind
different
of a
people.
Joint account,
right? It really is. You really should have both.
I think
but
Will's trying to play footsies with me over here.
Well, you are wearing a cute shirt. But we, as much as we bash sugar every episode and every chance that we get,
right,
we want to remember like you. And we do know like you can be more presently in the fat burning zone when you keep your insulin levels low. We also have said before, you have to qualify to go on a low-carb diet.
Right.
You can't just, before you fix your digestion, you can't just cut out carbs and expect yourself not to freak out. you've got to improve your digestion and start getting your body able to use those other fuels before you just yank them out of the diet.
Will's bringing up a lot of really good points today. He should keep playing footsies with you because it's got him on. Because that's super important. You never know if Ann is like, well, I'm working out to lose weight, so I'm going to go ahead and cut out all my carbs too. And she may not qualify. So,
like, even when I just think about, like, oh, I have to reduce my carbs, I go crazy. Like, right. Just so the thought of that.
She could do things like you do where she's having more medium carbs, like, you know, sweet potatoes and berries and stuff like that, where at least she's getting those sugars, but maybe not the kind that would spike insulin so high.
And then cutting them off early in the day or something.
Yeah, yeah.
At 3 o'clock.
True that.
Okay, so Amber from Clare, Michigan. Why do I get all sick after a hard workout? I nearly always catch a cold after working out with a trainer. Well, does that trainer have a cold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to keep in mind that a lot of trainers sleep with their clients.
Yeah.
And they could be getting, you know, that's not the case.
Oh, yeah. So. How come I've never found a trainer that does that? Jeez. I was going for the casting couch, I was going for the trainer, and it just didn't happen.
No, but, you know, I used to have a similar issue anytime I went out in the sun or in a tanning bed, I would get a cold. Mm. And we learned from when we did our common cold episode that...
People weren't wiping them down.
Right. I wasn't wiping down the...
Tanning booths, yeah.
No. that, you know, vitamin D pulls calcium out of the tissues. And so, and when that happens, you turn off your immune system. Your immune system doesn't know to attack if there's an invader. So it could be a situation where either your gym is just filthy or, you know, your resources are so low that when you're working out really hard, your body's looking anywhere it can to get resources. And maybe it's pulling those resources out of the tissues. Like if your body pulled phosphorus out of the tissues, calcium would come with that. It would follow the phosphorus, and then it would not be in the tissue where it needs to be for your immune system to function.
So how many times a week is she working out, and how many times does she get a cold? Oh, I got a cold on Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
No, she's saying that she gets a full-out cold if she has a really intense workout, which she does when she's with her trainer.
Oh, okay.
Right. I think that's the case. Okay. So it would be more of a situation of, you know, take steps maybe before that session to push calcium down to the tissue level. Maybe you're using lysine, you know, an amino acid or something, some fatty acids or something to keep more minerals down at the tissue level.
Yeah. And like a super hard, intense workout will stimulate an anabolic state later, even though that act is a catabolic state.
Uh-huh.
So that overly anabolic state is the one that viruses love and can breathe inside the cells because there's not enough oxygen in there. So you may want to just watch your different markers of being too anabolic. Like, is your urine pH super high that evening? Or
yeah, that's great.
Know, are you flying into that anabolic imbalance, which makes you more susceptible to viruses?
Oh, Will, you're cute today.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Clint from Belleville, Texas. Why have I lost 75 pounds in the past year and am wearing 32 waist pants for the first time in 20 years? Oh, wait, we already know the answers to that, don't we?
Aw,
Clint,
have a brownie?
You're a badass.
Clint is awesome, man. Also, yeah. Clint is a Hale, and we're not related. We never knew each other, but I kind of feel like we are now. It's kind of fun.
Y'all
like,
should
he's
meet
like
up.
Team Hale.
We got to start wearing shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tom, way to go, Clint. Tom from Minneapolis, Minnesota. When I quit smoking some 10 years ago, I had a huge poster hung beside my cube at work. It had a picture of a dragon on it and messages indicating the good I'm doing for my body. For example, I don't remember the exact benefits, so I'm taking liberties here. Day 3, smoke-free, my lungs are beginning to heal. Day 12, my body cleaned up 50% of the tar residue in my lungs. Day 21, I have the lungs of a non-smoker and added 10 years to my life. What are the visual tools that we use? How can we use them to show the benefits we are doing for our bodies and our lives?
I got one he could add. He could put day 38, saliva pH went above 6.0, because a lot of times smokers are just so toxic that the liver is so overwhelmed, and a low saliva pH is often a sign of a liver that's having a hard time. So that could be another sign that you may see happen.
Day 50, get kissed by a girl and not smell like an ashtray.
Right, right, right. Yeah, people stop calling you names in restaurants or whatever. But I don't know. What do you have to add to that one?
I work with some of my clients are pharmaceutical reps, and they One of them is trying to get his partner to quit smoking because he knows they have... There's over 300 crazy chemicals in every cigarette. It's just nuts. It's not just nicotine. It's not just tar. It's like, no wonder they cause cancer. It's just, you know, they're so crazy.
It's amazing people don't die sooner.
I know.
They can smoke for years and years and years.
But if you're handling that or you're trying to handle that issue, we have a whole podcast about quitting smoking that you might want to listen to. Because although there are definitely addictive chemicals in the cigarette, there's also predispositions in your body chemistry that can make it harder for you to quit. And we talk all about that in that particular episode.
And you can find our old episodes on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for Kick It Naturally and you can find all of them. You can get them for free. And hit the subscribe and leave us a review. If you leave us a review, we will like you. Unless it's a horrible review,
we will like you less. I still don't understand his question. Is he looking for more posters or what is he looking for?
I think he was
just
trying to like encourage people to like write out inspiring things.
You can write your own.
Or what other signs come from the improved health.
Okay.
I had a Heather Locklear poster.
I
was young.
I had a Rob Lowe, Thomas C. Howell, all the Outsiders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who didn't?
Brian from Lawrence, Kansas. I'm a vegetarian, and I tend to load up on carbs, like pizza, nearly every day. I lose energy if I cut those items. What is a viable substitution? Meat.
I was going to say vegetarian meat, but that's a horrible.
That's two that you got right today,
Kenna. I got it.
So if you want your body to be more balanced, you have to figure out like the right ratios of proteins and carbs and fats for you, and you also have to eat those things. And you can do that as a vegetarian. Eggs are a great protein source. You just want to make sure you're being able to digest them well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a lot of energies from fats as well, so that can help you reduce your...
But a vegetarian, would they eat eggs?
Vegans wouldn't. They can also eat milk.
So another important thing to understand is that if you're vegetarian for... religious or spiritual right reasons, you don't want to eat anything that has a face or anything like that, it's kind of important that you keep doing that. But if you're a vegetarian because you feel like that's the healthiest choice, then don't.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about that a lot in the books and the courses, and we explain the benefits of, animal protein and also how important digestion is if you're going to eat those types of proteins.
Mm-hmm.
So if you felt lousy eating those, odds are great that your digestion is not strong, and that's why you lean towards these carbs that are easier to digest.
Mm-hmm.
So by fixing digestion, it may broaden the types of foods that you can eat and still feel good and energized after.
Mm-hmm. And one other little resource, I don't know if we've ever mentioned before, but if you are committed to like being vegan and you're doing all like the mainstream holistic health stuff of like, omega-3 oils and all these things, you'll usually become too catabolic because you're not getting enough sterols, like cholesterols and saturated fats. But if you're committed to still being vegan, there is a supplement called sterols that's made of the sterol or cholesterol aspect of wheat germ. There's no gluten in it, even though it's wheat germ.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that on Natural Reference, I think.
I think you have to have a health coach to get that one. Yeah. But if in our courses, we talk about other things that could help push a person more in the right direction so they could maybe find some other things like that. Like coconut oil and stuff like that.
Yeah, there are alternatives.
Sure.
Just try to make it work however you can. And there's a lot of great resources with today's technology and supplementation.
Well, what's important when you make these other choices, like, having good fats, like Will said, could be huge for sustaining energy, but you have to be able to process those fats. So it all goes back to these new things I'm going to try out. Does my digestion allow me to try them out? Go back to playing footsie.
Okay. Now we've moved on to handsies.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Next, we'll play boobsies.
Oh, that's a totally different game.
Okay. Kimberly from Illinois. Tony, how do you feel about being ready to change your health? Okay.
I feel good. Thank you.
Even though a person is sick and tired of losing and gaining the same 20 pounds over and over again, do you think it might have something to do with the mind? Doesn't all change start with your head? I think that's where I need help also. Motivation.
I agree some, and I don't agree.
It's like the chicken and the egg. Like sometimes my head's not in it, but if I just force myself to do the activity anyways, then my head will become in get into it. It's like, you fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes my head's in it And then I just have to do the actions.
Right. Because you got to keep in mind how a person does have to want to do this in order to succeed. Mm-hmm. They have to want it. But at the same time, if your body is not being fueled in a manner that your brain can function correctly, that you can be optimistic, that you can have desires, that you can not feel depressed and hardly want to get off the couch, you know, that is often about the fuel that's going in your body. So sometimes I see a lot of people that if they can just trick themselves into doing some of the right steps, things like sea salt, you know, things like improving digestion, eating some foods that won't spike and crash their blood sugar, you know, steps that can allow them to function more as a human, then all of a sudden they want to do it more. Mm-hmm. So I do think that both of these, I think the emotional aspect of weight loss is important. It's there. It's part of the life, and you have to address it, and you have to take steps towards it. But a lot of times those steps are so much easier if you're fueling your body properly so that it can function at an optimal level.
Mm-hmm. I really get Kimberly's thing, because right now I feel like I'm in a plateau with my weight, and I'm just like, I'm at the point where it's like, you know, screw this. If weight's not going to come off, I want a burger or I want pizza. I'm working my butt off and it's not moving. Mm-hmm. So I get that. So I guess you just, you know, what Tony always says is like, when you get that feeling, I know in the next couple of days, you're going to look on the scale and you're going to like have dropped. So just keep doing what you're doing and know that, you know, it's like that picture of the flower that's about to come through the soil, but you don't think it's going to happen. And so you pluck it out or whatever, you know, it just takes time. So,
and people look at it like, I look at what I ate yesterday and that should dictate the pants that I'm allowed to wear today.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work like that. The body doesn't work on, I just ate this and now this is my fat amount. You know, there's a lot of processes that take more than a day and into weeks. And so it's just, you have to look at, that's why people should only monitor, you know, their waist measurement, you know, once every week, 2-3 weeks. You should not be measuring your waist every day, because it's going to go up on days where everything is going right.
You definitely don't get on the scale every day.
I'll punch you in the face if you get on the scale every day. Scale lies. Scale is wrong. Don't use a scale. Mm-hmm. And we did it.
All right.
That's it. We got through them all.
Uh-huh.
I guess one other thing that she might like to read is there's a book called Mastery by a guy named George Leonard, who talks about the path of progress. And he talks about, like, in everything. Like, he's really into Aikido, which is a martial art. But he talks about, like, in archery or math, anything. It's usually not a straight sort of line of progress up or straight regression down. There's these bursts of progress, and then followed by little mini setbacks and then long plateaus. And I've definitely noticed that with my own trying to, like, fluctuate, like, gain a bunch of muscle this year. I went up, like, 30 pounds. It doesn't just go up steady. It goes up, like, all of a sudden I'll gain 7 pounds, and then I'll be stuck there for, like, a month or two.
Uh-huh,
and then
it's
another 7. And then, you know.
When Kenny says she's on a plateau, it's usually, like, 3 days where she doesn't look smaller.
I feel like it should be happening now.
Right,
if I'm saying no to that, then, you know, I'm not very patient.
But another analogy to look at, what Will just said, is that if you fly from New York to Los Angeles, you fly for, I don't know, 6-7 hours, something like that, and the plane is on course, like, 4% of the time that you're in the air. All the other times it's going off course and then correcting, and then it's going the wrong way the other time and it's correcting. So you don't have to be perfect and on everything on course all the time to get to where you want to go. You just have to have progress.
Why does that happen? And I mean, is that why we get charged so much for all the gas that they waste?
They want to. They're selling sandwiches now, that if we take longer to get there, we can sell more sandwiches.
Yeah.
Don't care about the fuel that's so expensive. We want to sell sandwiches.
Yeah.
No, it's just that it's overcorrecting. So it's constantly correcting, and that's what the body does too. So simmer down.
Yeah, and 30 pounds of muscle. Wow.
Somebody gave you bigger tank tops that you had to fit into.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, man.
Man, I got to fix this.
So thanks for all those great questions, you guys.
Yeah,
those are really good. And we'll do some other potluck episodes in the future, too. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Oh, I've got to tell you some things. All right. So
If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at Kick It in the Nuts. You can also check out Will's My Body of Knowledge on Facebook, and also
mybodyofknowledge.net.
.net. Okay, that's his website too. So
and sign up for his newsletter because he has a lot of stuff that goes out to you that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I don't have anything, so you know.
So send Kenna clothes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Have a good week.
Bye bye. Bye.